Before we do anything else today, I just want to remind you today is the last day to write a review for The Heartburn. If you want to be considered eligible for our grand prize of having a 2 1-hour consultations with me and one of my assistant directors of the Xanatos Gambit Meta Detective Agency, the kind of thing you heard about in our last episode with Abraham Bergson. Today we have a great episode, but please, if you would do anything for us, it is to stop, it is to rate us, give us 5 stars or whatever stars, and you'll be eligible. Review us so that you actually can say a word or two about what goes on here, and then go ahead and share us with friends. If you don't do that, then who knows how long we'll be able to keep this going, probably not much longer. So please stop, rate, review, share. We love it. We love having the conversations. So don't miss out on the contest, and please don't assign us to a certain death. We'll talk to you soon. Now The Heartburn. Did you know that Austin, Texas has an annual skip fest? It's true. And if you didn't know that, then you have tuned into the right episode today, because I have the expert here to help us learn about it. Welcome back to The Heartburn. This is Doug Harrison again, and we've got a great episode today that's a lot of fun. I found out about Kim Skipper through one of our previous guests, Lori Stein, when her Charm School for Men, and immediately wanted to bring her on. The minute she sat down, we immediately had so much fun, had a great conversation, and if you think that all that she has to say is some trite things about don't worry, be happy, and skip on down that road, then you've got a big treat ahead, because she's thought about this for the past 20 years in a few ways that you and I probably haven't. So I would say sit back and relax, but what I recommend is popping in your earphones, getting out on the sidewalk, keeping your body center low, but skip through this episode as fast as you want to. You are listening to Kim Skipper. I'm Doug Harrison, and this is The Heartburn. Should we just hop right in?
Sure.
I mean, since you're here, welcome to Austin. It is so good to have you. I'm just curious. Well, okay, wait, let's put everything aside. Let's start with, I'm going to dive right in. This is real talk.
Okay.
Real talk, Kim. You've met Donny Osmond.
I have.
I've met Donny Osmond.
It's
no wonder we're friends, because I met Donny Osmond at Disneyland filming with Marie Osmond, a special. And I've met him another time, too. I used to live in L.A., and we used to go to little filmings and stuff. But tell me, tell me about meeting Donny Osmond. How did this happen?
I did that. Well, it was well into the skipping movement when it first started, and I did an interview with Donny and Marie on the Donny and Marie Show. And then at the end, I got to hold hands and skip with Donny Osmond. And it was seriously a childhood dream come true.
Now, this was the Donny and Marie Osmond reboot.
The reboot, right. It was in the early 2000s. Yeah.
So that is a great segue into, you have actually been doing this skipping movement. Are you Kim the Skipper? I'm getting your nickname wrong. What is your name?
Just Kim Skipper.
Kim
Foreman.
Skipper.
Because a lot of people know me as Skipper because through the years of my illustrious skipping career.
Right. You can call me Doug Gilligan if you like. Has no one ever made that joke? Am I the first to make that joke?
My little buddy?
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So you got into skipping. How in the world did that happen? And let me do this one more time. How in the world did that happen? And why? What's going on? What about the skipping?
Well, the first time that I skipped as an adult, I was out in San Francisco with a couple of friends, and this guy went skipping down the street in front of us and said, "Come on, let's go." And I had not even thought about skipping since I was about 7, probably. And I followed him, and as I skipped, I had this vision, basically the minute I skipped. And I thought, this is so much fun. I've always hated running. I thought, this has got to be great exercise. I had just gotten back from my first Burning Man. So I thought, I bet I can get my Burning Man friends to skip with me. And then I'm a publicist is my day job. So I thought, and I can do publicity around it. And then it'll start a skipping movement. This was in 1997. And I talked a lot about it. I tried to recruit a friend to be the skipper, and I would be her publicist. I was not ready to step into my call. And that's funny. They say in the hero's journey model that often you refuse the call at first. And I definitely tried to refuse the call.
That being the Joseph Campbell hero's journey that we've mentioned on this on other episodes. I just wanted to make that connection for you.
Yes.
So you refused the call.
In 97. And then in 1999, another series of synchronicities happened. Where I was telling a coworker about, I had tried to go for a run one morning and it was another disaster. I just will never be a runner. And I told her that story. And then she was sharing about her day the day before. And her 4-year-old daughter had taken her by the hand at the mall and asked her to skip with her. And she said, and I did it, but I thought adults don't skip. And when she said that, the light bulb went off again. I was like, oh my gosh. And I was at a time where I wanted to do it. And it was right when the internet was getting going, which is an important piece of all of this. Because
also another thing to say to make me feel entirely old. Thank you very much for that.
Yes, it was 1999. And so my brother built me a website called iSkip.com. Mm-hmm. I started organizing happy hour skips and Sunday skips in the park in San Francisco with my Burning Man friends, just like I had seen 2 years before. And the Chronicle did a big story on it. And then that went out on the wire, and then all of
that
these,
was big. That was Time, CNN.
Yeah,
this was a big
deal.
Yeah,
everyone started calling all the fitness magazines.
Donnie,
much to my
Marie,
surprise.
Let's not forget. Yes,
yeah, like national, big national media, USA Today. Everyone covered it, and it was largely because it was a unique idea. But there were also hundreds of people out there who'd already been skipping for years, who never had had like a community or a gathering place. It's a small but mighty community, but you know, we're a unique bunch. And so it took off from there. I recruited head skippers. It was early social media. Like there was no Facebook or anything yet, right. But I recruited head skippers in their hometown, did it all by email. We would do multi-city skip days and all of this stuff. And I was getting so much publicity. I got an agent in New York who wanted to represent me for a book. And so I thought this book was going to be the thing that would save me financially. And so I quit my job. I was like, if I leap, the net will follow. And my entrepreneurial dad is like, Kim, how does a cash register ring? I said, I don't know, Dad. It's my calling. If I leap, the net will follow. And then I totally skipped myself into financial ruin.
Oh.
Had to declare bankruptcy. Went through a really dark night of the soul, back to the hero's journey model.
Right.
Like, little did I realize that really when you take on anything that's worth doing, you're going to be tested in a major way. And I was majorly tested and came back out of the other side of that and have discovered that I have an amazing career in book publishing that I love, and the skipping movement is still alive and well. And so I have both. I have this really fulfilling career and a passion that I don't have to put the pressure of trying to survive on it, you know?
And I'm just having this sort of revelation already, and having known you for all of 32 seconds and a half or whatever, but you have gone on to actually do a lot of publicity for people who, other people who skip. So you have this gift of commending others to the world.
Yes.
In your job, and now you're doing it with your skipping as well too.
Yes.
Is that a place where you just resonate?
I think it's a natural talent of mine. Mm. I mean, I was in book publicity for authors before. Mm. With the skipping movement, it was an interesting moment where I realized that, like, a lot of people said, oh, you should trademark your name and you should protect your idea. And I never wanted to do that. Skipping is free. My dad would say, you should do a membership model.
You've had the announcement right here on this show. Skipping now free to everyone. No more copyright, Creative Commons.
Yeah. And then I had to realize too that that meant that I was sharing my idea with everyone. And so that became a philosophy really early on.
Yeah.
I can remember the very first time I got an email from someone that said that they were going to do a skipping movement website too. And he was all excited about it. And he said it was going to be called youskip.com. And I was so triggered by it. And then he sent me more information. And his was actually about rope skipping with stringed meats. That never came to fruition.
Like with sausages?
Yes. So that one, it was a little test and nothing ever came of it. But over the
years. Too bad, because I'm so hungry for sausage right now. And I want to. You may have to revisit this.
Over the years, there have been a lot of people who have made great skipping strides on their own. And so I sing their praises. And it made it more of a movement versus something that I need to creatively protect.
You've got to, if you have hit financial ruin and you see it still taking up momentum with other people or catching momentum with other people, you've got to have some kind of faith that is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? How do you maintain that kind of faith?
You know, this whole journey has been a journey of faith. It's really been getting clear on what the voice in my heart is telling me to do and daring to say yes and doing it. So that's been there the whole time, that kind of guidance. And I definitely have doubted it. you know, like I went through some really, I was like, wait, but that's not fair. I did what I was supposed to do. What the heck? You know, I really doubted it in time, but over the long haul.
I've got some questions about that because I think that's really important to kind of what we talk about here. Mm-hmm. The heartburn is getting people to listen to their vocation. So first question, I have a series of questions here, but first question, we know that moment that you were walking down the street and you saw someone, and that can be a moment of inspiration, when you, especially when you see something a little bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You can be drawn into the moment. I can feel it with you as you say it. But then you kept skipping. How did you hear that voice? What was it like to hear that voice that this is something that you should be doing? It really picked up that second story with saying adults don't do this. But how did you really know that this is a voice? This is not just an idea passing through my head.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is I kind of had a history of following my heart. I followed my heart to San Francisco. I wanted to drop out of college when it wasn't working for me and then found my path that way. So I always have followed a sense of inner guidance. With the skipping movement specifically, though, when I skip down the street, it's like that activates this childlike, creative, joyful part of me. And the inner critic, which is a part of all of this too, of course, is like, you can't do that. Your people are going to think you're crazy. Adults don't skip. I had all kinds of things to say about it. And through skipping over time, it's like it exercised that muscle of the creative voice in my heart so that I could listen to it and choose it more often. And early on, I thought that it meant just completely, I was going to skip past the inner critic forever. I thought, oh, I got this, you know, like and I've come to realize that the inner critic and the ego is never far away. Like it is very clever and it might wait in the wings while you're having this wonderful time, but it's there and it never really goes away. So I've really kind of, I've done a lot of voice dialogue work, which is another psychological process where you give different aspects of your personality an opportunity to speak, not just your dominant self, but then disowned selves that maybe don't get very much airtime if you're really positive, extroverted, bubbly person. Well, what does the shy, introverted person have to say, kind of thing? So I'm really interested in that, the many voices that are a part of our personalities.
Yeah. So we get started and you I actually love that you said that, you know, that the inner critic is always there. And frankly, there's something that's really important about that. I mean, I suppose someone without an inner critic is a sociopath. Mm-hmm. So there is somewhere where there's a constant organic edge between these that you
and
have to maintain.
And being able to, it's awareness. It's awareness, actually. And in voice dialogue work, the way that it happens is you, like a person who's facilitating you, gives, let's say, the positive outgoing self an opportunity to talk, asks it all kind of questions, and then says, okay, let's talk to the shy, nervous side of you. And that voice tries to talk, which is hard because usually you don't even want to admit that it exists.
Right.
And then in the end, you come back to conscious awareness that's detached from both of it. And it took me a long time to realize that that positive self, because it's such a huge part of who I am, isn't all of who I am. And that really it's the awareness that sees it all that is at the heart of everything.
Now, this is a bit of a story here, but I'm also an NLP master practitioner. You read out your head, you know what this is.
Uh-huh.
Neuro-linguistic programming. You'd think I would know how to say it. But, you know, sometimes we will talk about with people, what's the self behind yourselves that sees those selves?
Yes, exactly.
Is that kind of the thing you're...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's drawing that out in these voice dialogue sessions where... Then you go back and look, well, what happened here and what's going on inside me? But it's from a more detached place of awareness.
Yeah. So then how then when you get into those difficult spaces? So you followed your inner voice, and not only did you have an inner critic, but you had a father critic saying, hold on now, let's hear the cash register. And that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So when it doesn't work out, what then do you do with what you believed was right? And do you think that it wasn't right? Do you think that you made a mistake there, that you misheard your voice? Or do you think you heard your voice and that was the right mistake to make?
I think that I stopped really listening to my voice at one point. I think I wanted it to go to be on my timeline and to look like I wanted it to look. One of my pieces of advice to people who are starting creative passions is don't quit your day job too soon.
Mm-hmm.
If I could do anything over, that's what I would have done. I would have stayed and I would have bridged both worlds. And it would have saved me a lot of financial hardship. Mm. But it, The skipping project also never let me go. So I would think it was over. I would think, okay, that's it. You know, that was fun. It was a fun ride. And then amazing synchronicities would happen. Like this man skipped a marathon to set a Guinness World Record. And he just happened to work with my coworker wow. who connected us. And I did a story about him. So even when I was Furman.
Oh, no, Shrita Furman.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and that's another one too. And early in the skipping movement, Bill Martinelli. I was told when I was getting all this publicity, people would write to me and say, someone did this in the 80s. In Newport, Rhode Island, and his name was Bill Martinelli. And I tried so hard to find him. He never contacted me. And then probably 5 or 6 years ago now, a clip of him from the 80s went viral online. And it said his name was Bill Martinelli. And it said, so wow. I put a call out on my website. Like, I'm trying to find this guy after all these years. Someone sent me his number. And I called and I said, hi, I'm looking for, he said, this is Skip Martin, is how he answered. And I said, I'm looking for Bill Martinelli. And he said, who is this? And I said, my name's Kim Corbin. I have a website called iSkip.com. And he said, I know who you are.
Oh, yay! Yeah. Oh, great.
And he had, you know, I can understand, he didn't, unlike me, who very early on figured out I was going to share this with everyone, like, it was his thing in the 80s as much as it was mine. He skipped with Richard Simmons. He was on the Today Show in the 80s, but no internet existed to archive it all.
We're totally going to put a link up to Richard Simmons so people know who it is.
That's old news.
If we can find him, I want him on this show so bad.
I think he's missing in action lately.
I know. Yeah. It's the great mystery. It's him and Carmen Sandiego are off. Another real old reference there. Yeah. They are off in disappearance, and so I'm going to find Richard Simmons and bring him on this show. This is a separate thing. But so you're in touch now with Skip Martinelli, and you guys connect, and
we've become friends.
Is this where some of that, to me, publicist is just short of a different word for a spiritual gift for commending others to the world? I mean, there's a real
singing
gift
the praises
in that.
Of others. Yes. Yeah.
And that seems to be a pattern that comes through for you. That seems a really essential part of who you are.
Yes.
So not quitting your day job seems like it's not just that your world was supposed to be all about skipping, but how it's supposed to be about skipping and what else you're supposed to also be doing is continuing to see those praises.
Yes. Because now I work at New World Library. We're the publishers of The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle and all of these books that are really helping to shift consciousness on the planet. And that's what I got clear on when it went south as far as my personal path. And it didn't look like what I thought it was supposed to look like. It wasn't that I wanted the skipping movement to continue, but I figured out how it felt to use my life to make a positive difference in this world.
Yeah.
And to have my seat in helping to shift things. And that was what I wanted more than anything. So when I got my job at New World Library, and the skipping movement was still going on, but it was kind of more in the background. That was fine with me because it's like, wow, here I am being able to use my gifts in this way. And then the skipping movement got to keep going too as a bonus. But it really is that question. And I think it's a crucial question for all of us to be asking these days is what small or big ways can I personally make a difference?
Ah, everybody, put down your ice cream cone and let go of your labradoodle. I have big news, which is related to this podcast. Abe Berkson is going to be with Aidan LaRue in Austin, Texas, providing one of their intensive weekend workshops. It's through the 787 Collective, and we will put a link to it in this particular podcast, so keep an eye out for that. But in it, it'll be an experience design workshop, and they'll be focusing on developing a relationship with your audience, using their interview process, developing that sense of curiosity and intimacy with your audience, all of those sorts of things based upon this little doing creative stuff for an audience of one. It is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 12th and 13th. It is $395. There's some partial scholarships will be available. So please go to the 787 Collective in Austin, Texas, and look for the links here because I will probably be there and I'll want to see your face. You can pick up your labradoodle again. Bye. It's probably more
complicated than that. Why does it matter to you to make a difference? And where do you see that? What is it like when you know you've made a difference?
Well, I think that, first of all, making a difference can look very, very basic and simple. It doesn't necessarily mean being on national TV with Donny Osmond. Yeah. So I think it's reframing what that means. Mm-hmm. I kind of think of it as humanity, or like everyone on earth is a body and we're all cells in that body. And we can be helper cells that are like helping to help the greater good and to do our small part. And sometimes it's a very, very small part. Or we can be like cancerous cells that are like not helping the overall part. And that all of that adds up. And that the more people who are just living good lives and being in integrity and putting good energy out there, like it doesn't have to be this huge, gigantic, making a difference on a global scale or becoming the next Oprah.
Yeah.
It can just be very, very simple. And I feel like that's a big part of this human experiment that we're all in.
If you'll grant me the liberty, because so many of these themes have come up just in our first 10 or so episodes. One is, I'm a Benedictine oblate, which is like an outpatient monk. So mm-hmm. I'm a monk for all, here I am in this world, you know. And one of our mottos is ora et labora, which means work and pray. Mm-hmm. And so much of it, and my sister-in-law always reminds me that Mother Teresa is like, I'm a pencil in God's hand. I work in small. Annie Dillard, she has a poem about working in small. Yeah. So much about the Benedictine life is weaving baskets. It's about praying as you do the dishes.
Yes.
And that one of our guests actually sort of stumbled into a cult because he went to an evangelical school and they made such a big deal about your life has to make a big difference. Mm-hmm. You have to matter on this massive scale. And so when someone came along and promised that, that was part of the complex temptations that got him into that sort of network. I hope that's a fair way of talking about it for him. But in so many ways, there are these things that say people have to be great. You have to be amazing. But I think to be quite beautiful, there's something about doing small work. And the second theme that has come up, it's coming up in a future episode we haven't edited yet, is you have to find... I have a friend who's an incredible gifted artist, also been on NPR or New York Times. He's like, I have to fight evil in the world. And I can pick up a sword and go Don Quixote on something and try to fight evil that way. Or I can make this art that helps people know what kind of cell they are mm-hmm. and what sort of job they should be doing. So mm-hmm. when I hear this resonance of my own vocation, it's helping other people do their vocation. So I'm making a lot of connections to other episodes. Thank you for that luxury. But for Hugh, I hear that is that, look, here, I'm here to help people skip. And there's more to it than that. It's not just the skipping, is it?
Well, it's on a daily basis, it's just to be a positive, bring positive energy to my daily life.
Yeah.
I'm working on a book right now at my job called Loving Out Loud. That's all about just the power of a kind word. And this author is helping people just go out of their way to take an extra minute, not just send an emoticon to tell someone why what they did matters to you. Like it can be that simple.
Yes.
And so it doesn't have to be this big grandiose thing. It's just every day waking up and saying, how can I bring more light to the world today in my own little way? And some ways that might just be not very much because you might be having a really bad day. It's not like you have to be like that all the time. But I think we can all do little things every day and realizing that that matters.
Mm. I remember one time in college being really, really quite ill and laying in bed, unable to do, I was sleeping about 18 hours a day, just really, really sick. And I just in tears one afternoon and praying and just went, nothing. I can't do anything for, I kind of had the same, I went to an evangelical school and I had a lot of the same. It's like, I can't do anything for God. Even.
Sense
I
of duty. Sit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I had this moment of God saying, I don't love you so that. I didn't create you so that you would, in return, you would blank, you would be great, you would fix others, you would even make me pancakes. It wasn't anything. It was just, I made you. You're made out of love. If you can sit there and love, that's enough.
Yes.
If you can't, what can you do? That's enough.
Yes.
But you're enough. And
that's so important.
And how much trust. So that whatever I'm called to do, even as a Christian, is not out of a sick sense of duty, but out of genuine gratitude.
Yes.
Which is, I feel, again, I'm inserting my own sermons into this only because you're making so many connections here. And that means the smallest thing I can do, or if I lose my capacity tomorrow and I can suddenly do much less, do that.
Yes.
So when you get people skipping, what is it that you're hoping for them? I mean, you are, it seems like you are transforming people's lives. I don't think you have a particular agenda, but what is the kinds of things that you hope for, and what do you see when people embrace this skippingness, the skipping lifestyle along with you? And
the thing I love love most about the skipping movement, the media always wants to talk about the fitness benefits, which are pretty miraculous too.
Sure.
But for me, it's about freedom. Mm. And it's about choosing freedom.
Wow.
And having that cultural programming, and it can be it's very metaphorical for other things too, that says adults don't skip, don't do that, and then choosing what feels good in your and true and positive in your own heart instead. And just the freedom that comes with that, like, that to me is really what's exciting about it, and reprogramming these cultural rules, because our culture is like going off the rails right now, and it's so easy to still buy into it. And it's really important for us to get clear in our own selves and with our higher power, and
yes,
and to live that every day.
Because there is not only the inner critic to deal with now, there is very much outer critics.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Left and right.
Yeah. And they're mirrors of each other. Yeah. Usually the outer critics are just there to show you your own inner. Because if you don't have that inside yourself, when they say it, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And haters are going to hate. I got so much hate mail when I was getting lots and lots of publicity. I don't right now, but I would be like, oh yeah, you're a kid again. You're an attention starved kid. And you're, I mean, people would write and send hate mail about skipping. It's part of the journey.
You just got to go, come on. Like, you people have too much time. On your hands.
Exactly.
If that's your issue to take on,
anti-skippers,
get a bigger sword, go to a bigger battle. You do need to read some Don Quixote.
Yes.
You are there. It is possible to think too small. I've just learned from you there. It is possible. That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit. So is there particular stories where you have seen a friend or someone along these 20 odd years that you've seen some of that transformation come to life or have fruition, that, you know, besides your own story, are there other people you've seen where they've kind of benefited from the skipping?
Well, I think everyone that does it benefits for. There's lots of stories. Let's see. There's a woman named Ro Gammond who just celebrated her 70th birthday, who skipped a 5K in, was it a 5K or a 10K? 5K, I think, in Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
Who, like, and so that was a pretty transformational story. I don't really have, no one immediately jumps to mind. I don't do, because I'm not doing a lot of, you know, it's pretty in the ethers. I'm not doing one-on-one coaching or talking to people about their experiences.
Or keeping track.
Right.
Because it seems like this is something you've genuinely put out in the world.
Yes.
Let it go where it may. Can we talk a little nuts and bolts about skipping, though? I mean, because
you've done
this. I mean, fitness is not my main interest here. But, look, I'm a guy with a body that could work better and is not super happy about walking or running. My podiatrist had said, yeah, running is not your thing. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But she was okay with skipping, something I've not done. I also have a terrible back. I have blah, blah, blah. I have reasons. How do I start? Where would someone like me, I've got my doctor's okay, but it still feels awful. Where do I begin? What do I do? And how do I do this right?
How I would start is, like, go for a walk and then blend skipping in. Some people skip for miles and miles. There was just this big study that was done at East Carolina University where they studied running and skipping. And they had people skipping as fast as they run for as long as they run, which is great, but that's, like, super hardcore.
Yeah.
For me, if the joy isn't there, if the playful joy isn't there, then it kind of misses the point of what I love about skipping. So it's more about how much fun you have from point A to point B versus how long a distance it is.
Yeah.
So if I was first starting, I would just go out for a walk and I'd just say, oh, I'm going to skip every time I come across a picket fence, I'm going to skip that far. and just like skip a few steps. And then you get in, and then start playing with the part of you that says, don't do it. People are going to laugh at you, which really isn't true. I've never had anyone scorn me when I'm out skipping on the street. People are shocked and they say, skippity doo-dah, and smile and laugh. But no one, what your head tells you is going to happen doesn't actually happen.
No, not until you're online and they actually
send you a letter. Yes, then they're safe to do it. Then they're safe to do it. Another really fun thing to do is, it's a little more advanced, is skipping on the treadmill. And again, you can set it at like a fast walking pace and then blend skips in. So you can like walk to, skip to, walk to, skip to on the treadmill, or and when you're out. That's another fun way to mix it up. It's really easy when you're an adult to skip really high and enthusiastically like when you were a kid, but you'll exhaust yourself really quickly. So it's better to kind of stay low to the ground and do a low impact skip.
I can hear my doctor saying that before I even ask.
Yes. And then the way I personally use it is I think of it as like my dessert exercise. So I'll go to the gym, I'll do 20 minutes on the stair climber, and then I go in the exercise room. I put on a really happy song that makes me feel good. And I just, you know, like it's running is our fight or flight reflex. And skipping is like an animal frolicking freely in the field and just woo, bucking and running around. So I just go in there and I just go a little crazy for one song and just get my vibration up and feel really good and get my skipping in for the day.
I will tell you the revolutionary phrase of today that possibly has changed my life is dessert exercise.
Yes.
That so reframes so much. I want, let's circle the wagons. I'm going to need to do a reflux episode on this and get my little panel together just to discuss the glories of the idea of a dessert exercise.
Yes.
I love it so much, and I've never heard the idea before. But it also changes the whole notion of exercise. And you're right, like running is fight or flight.
Yeah.
It's and in fact, the wrong person running at the wrong time might experience trauma again because of that.
Right.
So do something different. Here's something different. At that point, swim or, God help us, skip.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. I imagine myself, my main place I walk is just up the corner and around, or it's over to the taco place. It's both are half a block away, not far. But I'm imagining myself, this is the place to begin skipping. And as soon as I do, I've got that inner critic that comes up. It's right there immediately.
It's right there.
And there's a lot of different ways I know that people have, but what can you say to help me in that specific context when these are strangers, but they're my neighbors? Like, we're not best buds, but they're going to recognize me. What can I do to just get that first little deep, 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 deep going?
Well, you can be a stealth skipper at first, too, and just like look around and make sure that there's nobody looking if you're really nervous about it. I mean, not everyone's going to be able to go out and skip outside.
Right.
You can also skip around your house. I mean, you don't have to be out in public to
Done.
Do it. But I'm telling you, like, if they see you, that it would just bring joy and a fun conversation and a what are you doing and an opportunity to say what you're doing. And as soon as you do, people get it. And we need to see examples of that.
Wow.
That free spiritedness and being willing to choose it. And it's so culturally ingrained in us that we can't do that. And everyone skipped as kids. Everyone.
Yeah.
And the fact that what else did we love and do as kids? Like imagination, creativity,
play, it
holds the key to all of those things. So it's worth skipping past the inner critic. And every time you do it, it gets easier to choose the voice of joy. It's hardest at first, but then once you say, I love skipping, you know, that part gets going, then it's easier.
And it's mine.
Yes.
This is my joy. This is my moment. It isn't about my neighbors.
Yes.
I'm going to skip. You also say something interesting too, and that's that animals skip. They frolic.
Yes.
Here's another word I'm writing down right now. Here's the two big takeaways today are, well, one, find Richard Simmons, not Gene Simmons. We know where he is. Different guy altogether. Find Richard Simmons. Two, dessert exercise. And three, frolic. Just one more time, I want to say that Abe Burrickson and his assistant director, Aiden LaRue, are doing an intensive Odyssey Works workshop here in Austin, Texas at the Austin Presbyterian Seminary as part of the 787 Collective. Notes will be in our notes section, so please check them out and join us, or look for the 787 Collective online and then look for the Odyssey Works workshop. Also, I want to let you know that this weekend is the last weekend for you to leave a review and to win an experience design consultation with me and one of my coworkers at the Xanatos Gambit Meta Detective Agency, where we do similar stuff as Abe. So don't forget to leave a review right now, and we'll be reaching out to someone in the next couple of days to tell you that you've won.
I think I can get started. And I kind of like the idea of being the crazy old man in the neighborhood. I think it'll help me get away with other things that are already built in. But so what else in my life is like skipping? When you started skipping, what changed in other areas of your life? What else did you do different? How did you frolic elsewhere?
Well, right now I've been working on a book project, and I put it in a drawer a few years ago, and it's time for me to come back to it now. And I see the same inner dynamic in my creative process.
Wow.
It's the inner critic's way. It's really easy for me to skip now. I mean, but don't get me wrong. Like, I've been skipping for 20 years and that voice still comes up. And now, instead of saying people will think you're crazy, it says, oh, you're going to annoy people with your joy.
Wow.
Oh, you're too much.
You're too much.
Keep it.
Oh, don't say that. That's a voice
well,
in my
that's
head.
That's the inner critic, though, but it's not true.
It out.
It's
yeah.
not true. But what's interesting, too, is the people who react negatively to skipping, who can't handle it, have such it's their inner critic that's so strong in them that they just can't even relate.
So, yeah, here's real talk. Being friends with Doug, it's a lot. It's a lot. And so I am afraid. Like, I'm afraid of being... you sort of nailed it when you said you are like, you'll be too much for people.
Yeah.
So do you find that, yeah, you say it's the same creative process, but do you find that skipping and keeping that as part of your physical regimen in the world, whether it's disciplined or whether you just do it when there's a picket fence, does that change the way you're able to address your inner critic in other areas?
It helps me see it. So that's what I was going to say with the writing.
Please tell more.
Is just... As I'm sitting into it, getting into it, it's like, okay, thank you for your opinion. This is what I'm choosing anyway. So it just allows more detachment from it, instead of feeling, as you get more familiar with it and you play with it, which skipping allows you to do, it helps you recognize it when it comes up in other areas.
And
of your
life. You're thanking even your inner critic for its voice.
Yes.
And saying, appreciate it.
Yes. And thanks for watching out for me.
Right?
I'm glad, but... You know, these are new times, and desperate times call for desperate measures. And I'm going to skip through this life. I'm going to like just walk around in fear and be freaked out by everything that's going on in the world.
There will be a time that I need you. Now is not that time.
Yes.
Right now we're going
to
skip.
But acknowledging it. I think that's important. Instead of trying to, early on, I thought it was just skipping past it. And you can only skip past it for so long. It needs tending to.
Say that again. That seems really, really, really important to... So much. You can only skip past it for so long. So what did it mean to skip past it? Like, you could just push through?
I just pushed it down. You know, like, especially in the early days, actually, I have a great example of this. So I was all getting on this media. I was skipping by my inner critic. I left it in the dust. I was so engaged. And then right around the time that I was going to find out if my book contract sold or not, which it did not. But right around that time, I was in Lima, Ohio. There was a head skipper in Lima, Ohio, and I went to visit her because I was home for the summer because I needed to live with my parents because I couldn't afford my rent. And so I was with her, and she had set up this talk for me at a radio station in Lima, Ohio, in a morning meeting. I was going to give a talk. And so I went in to give the talk, and I started by singing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." And those guys, it was almost all men at like Lima, Ohio at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday or whatever. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And it was like I had a panic attack. I had a full fledged panic attack. I couldn't see. I had to sit down. I couldn't talk. My voice wouldn't. And in that moment, all of that stuff that I thought I had just skipped by came
up.
Flooding out and overwhelmed me. So it was still there, and it had been not been dealt with for so long, and it was overwhelming when it busted through, because I wasn't as confident as I was making it seem. I wasn't as, oh, everything's great. You know, I was just, at the time it was great because everything was going my way, but it was, there was deeper stuff going on that I was trying to skip past, and it didn't work out so well.
Hmm.
And then after the book didn't sell, then I got to go into the dark night of the soul and start beginning to sift through that.
So when you begin to sift through that, what is that? If you're not skipping through it, you're in the dark night of the soul. That's work.
Yeah.
And that's not pushed through.
Yeah.
And that's not what I expected us as what I would hope, but it's not what I would expect this conversation to do. What do we do then? What did you do?
Sometimes you can't just skip down the street, but you can always reach for a more positive thought. Mm. So it was a lot of trying to just keep the faith, reframe, get back to square one, but always reaching for the most positive thought.
What is reframing? Help me understand reframing.
I
assume keep the faith means, look, self, this is the right thing. You know it.
Right.
Just stick with
like,
it.
And whatever was guiding me from the beginning is still here. And I skipped so far off without really listening to it anymore that I had to go really back deep inside to figure that out. Mm. So it wasn't.
Keep the faith.
Yeah.
There's a belief that this is the thing, you know it, and it's resonated before.
Yeah.
So it's not just blind faith, like, I had an idea once, but you're like, I've seen this, it's resonated, I have evidence in my life of where this has been the thing. That's keeping the faith, and then there's reframing. What does reframing do for me in these dark nights of the soul?
Well, for me, it was about, I'm here to make a positive difference, and maybe it's not this way anymore. Instead of, my dream is dead.
Mm, right.
You know, like, which is what, and how embarrassing, because it was very public. I had publicly quit my
right.
job. I was like, everyone was following me. And so it was very, very hard. But I finally got back to, wait a minute, I'm here, kind of what we were talking about at the beginning. Like, I'm not here to be the skipping, to change the world through skipping. I'm here to be the best person I can be and say yes to what life presents me.
Mm.
And life was presenting something that didn't look anything like I wanted it to look, but how can I say yes to that?
Mm.
And always be reaching for, and not being in despair, maybe anger felt better than despair because I was like angry that it didn't go the way that I wanted, but that was a slightly better thought than just despair. So it was always like trying to reach for a better way of looking at things and just keeping going forward.
So are you saying then that anger served a purpose, at least for a bit, in that reframe that you could move from despair to anger and then from anger to
this is a teaching that of Abraham Hicks actually. And it's because you can't, if you're in despair, you can't quantum leap to joyfully skipping without a care down the road. It's too far of a leap and it's too much to ask of yourself. So if you're in despair, skipping for you might be moving to anger where you let yourself feel something and you get a little energy. Like that might be the next step forward that's more positive than being in despair. So it doesn't always look like la 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 joyfully skipping down the street. It's trying to just choose the next more positive thought to get you to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. And so the next more positive thought in a dark place might be, I'm mad about this, and that has an energy to it, and I'm going to work with anger for the moment.
Yes.
Which seems counterintuitive, but I'm really loving it.
Yeah.
Again, because if my job is to change the world, that's suffocating. And if I get off path, if it's the end result that has to comply, I'm going to be constantly frustrated. But if I can just take this moment and experience my disappointment and even be anger at that, it seems like I can do something with that and get back to my call, which was, I think you said, this was my calling. I can get back to my call by saying, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Get back to this because it's what I do, not the end result that it brings.
Right.
You know, and I feel like I'm... tell us about your book. You're working on this book project. What is it that you're wanting to say in it, or what do we need to know about it? I mean, I'm expecting it to come sooner or later, one way or another to us, but give us a preview.
The working title is Skipping the Life Fantastic.
Love it.
And it's going to be 12, 15, 10 things I learned about joy, fear, and resilience by inviting the world to skip. I've been writing it. When I very first started skipping, I felt like my calling was to skip and write about it. And I work in publishing, so I thought it was going to be so easy to write this book. Mm-hmm. But it was when I look at what I wrote back then, it was all basically like, kind of like, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Like, if you skip like me, everything will be all right. And that's not how life is a lot of times for a lot of people. And so the book wouldn't be what ultimately it will be, because I went through a dark night of the soul experience and can have a very vivid memory of what it was like then to not be able to just skip joyfully down the street and to find my way, but to keep reaching and keep moving forward and that sort of thing. So I haven't been working on the book this fall as I'm going back into it. And I feel like just now, 20 years later, I'm at a position where I have enough of a vantage point to look back at the whole journey and to bring forward the treasures that I've had from it. But I was trying the whole time to write while I was in it instead of being on the other side of it. So it's like this, it's been pretty fascinating, and I think it'll be worth the wait. I feel like once I get into it, it's going to flow, but it's hard to get myself in the arena and to try again. That's Brene Brown says, like, everything has been relatively smooth and easy for me in my life, and this is not. Wow, but it will make it worth doing.
So so you have the website, iskip.com. Well, where else can people reach out to you, A, if they need assistance in this skipping lifestyle, or B, if they want to cheer you on and encourage you in your endeavors? Our crowd is not going to be that critical crowd. This is a good group of folk, but where can they get you through the website to be in touch with you?
Yeah, iskip.com is the best place.
Great.
And then I'm on Instagram and, you know, all the social media outlets.
So there's one group of people I'm thinking about in the world. I mean, there's people who literally cannot skip.
Yes.
But what you're saying still feels really important to me.
It is. It's more of a philosophy than a physical action. Like, there's things anyone can do, even if they physically can't skip.
Can you think of a couple examples of what you might? I mean, let's say whether it's somebody who is ill, or maybe they're so depressed that they just can't get outside, let alone
singing a song that makes you happy.
Excellent.
Is a good one.
Yeah.
I'm a big omer. I love to om lately. Like, I've really been getting into oming while I'm driving my car.
Can we om just real quick?
Yes.
This will be the first time we've done this, all right? Hold on, let me take a breath here. All right, you start. I'll join you. First ohm ever on the heartburn. Anything else that you'd have to say? I think you have done us a huge favor. I can't tell you how much I'm grateful for you being here, but I have some final thoughts, but before I jump to that, what else do we need to know, and what else do we want to hear from Kim Skipper before we end our conversation today?
Well, I just would encourage people to follow those creative instincts, you know, be willing to have curiosity, activate that inner child and let it have a voice in your life and see where it leads you is a big piece of all of this for me. And life's fun, or short, and it's supposed to be fun. And so I think it's like play, being willing to let go of everything we carry around and just play every now and then is so important.
Mm. Thank you so much. One of the habits that we try to make as part of this podcast is to authentically and deeply just appreciate people as they come through as best as we can.
Loving out loud.
Loving out loud. It's so important. And it's such a good thing that we want to model for people. But there's things about you. Of course, it's easy to say things like joie de vivre. But there's also words like faithfulness and endurance, persistence, resilience that are so clear. And also, I love the word that you mentioned. One of the things I appreciate you about is your discernment. Where you have taken skipping is actually a pretty nuanced combination of your gifts. And so also the sense of resilience and faithfulness in your own vocation all become clear. And I see it in the way that you face a financial difficulty and you bounce back, even when you could kick yourself because there's people who could have said, I told you so. I hope your dad never said, I told you so.
No, he didn't.
Good for him. Thanks, Dad. but I see this resilience, this faithfulness, and this discernment when you're down here. When you're aware that there's a difference between how you were writing your book before and how you're writing it now, and that I knew you would have an answer when I said, if I said to you, what about people without legs? How are they going to skip? I knew you'd have an answer. And all of those things point to a consistency, I think, of character and the joy that you had from the minute you walked up, and that I could almost feel you coming and met you outside before you were still 100 feet from the door when I still knew that you were coming. So I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your discernment and all that you do to keep going. I can tell you, it matters to me. And I have issues of depression and fear to face that I'm going to take with me. And I just hope to goodness that the people that you encounter, that you get a Kim Skipper in your life that will do those things around and near you in a way that breathes life into your book and the other endeavors that you're going forward. Not so that you be a massive success, though I also wish that on you. I wish all the financial freedom on you to be able just to live your vocation freely, but for you to be so fully yourself in the world that you know that you're making a difference because your cell is a good cell for the other cells around it. Mm. So that's my hope for you.
Thank you
so much for being with us. There's one last thing. I know that you were here because of an event, and I just wanted to tag this on. This was for the Austin Foster Angels.
It's Austin Skip Fest.
Austin Skip Fest.
Yeah, this is the fourth annual. There will be a fifth annual next year. It benefits Foster Angels of Central Texas. They called me 4 years ago and had planned. This is the largest, by far, the largest scale skipping event. We have 400 people registered already for tomorrow is the event. And they called me out of the blue and said, we planned this whole event and we realized we don't have anyone to lead it. And so we thought, wouldn't it be amazing if there was a skipping expert? And that's how the skipping movement has been. You know, there's synchronicity all the way through that keeps me going. That's part of my tenacity is that it hasn't let me go. I haven't let it go, but it also, as soon as I think, you know, oh, it's dwindling down, something miraculous like this happens. So now 4 years I've been coming to Austin, and next year will be their 10th anniversary for Foster Angels. It's a wonderful organization that helps kids in foster care have the life experiences that they deserve.
Which in Texas, by the way, I happen to know is a massive need. And the foster system in Texas is at points foul and insufficient. So these supplemental organizations that do things are phenomenal in being transformational and make some of the difference between kids ending up homeless as soon as they turn 18 and being able to feel loved and important as an important cell within the body of the human family. So this is so important. Do you have contact information or anything like where we can put up for them as well or for the Skip Fest?
AustinSkipFest.com is the website, and Foster Angels of Central Texas. I don't know their website off the top of my head, but they're easy to find. This year, I did my fundraising specifically for a young boy who was going to be placed in an adoptive home, but he had behavioral issues, and his advocates felt like that he could benefit from equine therapy. And I rode horses when I was a kid. It's very expensive, but they really thought it would help him. And so that was who I fundraised for this year, which is really neat for my Skip Fest donation.
Wow, that's incredible. And so it is tomorrow. This particular podcast will probably come out after tomorrow, but I'll try and put up a blip. Can people still register and be involved or donate?
Yes, or I think I'm not sure if the donation, if you can, I'm sure you can still donate.
But it's all at Austin Skip Fest.
Yes.
Great. I will try to put up a little video or something just to point towards that.
And okay, great.
What we say is we talk about hard things here, but we try to do it with love because we really do believe that doing even small things with a lot of love is what makes all of the difference.
Yes.
I feel like you've been here with love for this moment, and I have too. So I appreciate it very much. Best of luck to you tomorrow. And when you come back next year, we'll have you again.
Yay!
And hear more about it.
And my book will hopefully be
And your book
done.
Will be out. Perfect. Great.
Skip on.
Thanks so much. Skip away. This is Gilligan signing out.
Bye-bye, little buddy.
Aw. Wasn't that fun? And isn't Kim the greatest? One of the best things that you can do to follow up from this episode is to go to iskip.com, or you can go to austinskipfest.com, or check out the Central Texas Foster Angels and be involved in all those areas. It's a way of making a big or a little difference. But I find all of our guests saying over and over again, it's not about waiting until you get to show off and to be some sort of superhero, but you take the moment that's right in front of you and you learn to extend a moment of kindness, to reach out and do some little bit of good, to have compassion, to bring a little bit of joy into someone's life. All of this sort of a thing matters. You know it would matter to me right now. I have a feeling you do. Please stop and rate and review us and recommend us to other people so we can keep having these conversations. It would mean the world to me, and it's actually something that would make a big difference, and it's really, really easy to do. You know why? Because I'm Doug Harrison, and this was The Heartburn.